buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom, engineering and producing, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster program. Thursday, October 29th, 2020. It is National Cat Day. Folks who know me know I love all animals. I love dogs, but I've always had an especial love for my cats. Been a cat person, as Pierre and Prissy are two rescue cats, what they call their tuxedo cats, mostly black, a little bit of white. They will verify I'm very much into cats. Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, where we are bringing Southern Arizonans together right here on the radio. That being 1030 Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening. That means you can hear this program anywhere you've got a computer. BuckmasterShow.com, where we take the live feed from KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes is also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She is the editor of the Oxford University textbook titled Women's Integrative Health. She's also the author of Be Fruitful, the Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. And we always look forward to our monthly visits with Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well, thank you. How are you?
Doing real well, hanging in there like everybody else, very anxious, I think, like many people, that we will have a safe and effective vaccine for COVID-19. Want to spend a little time on this whole idea of vaccines. Do vaccines kill the virus, in this case, COVID-19?
Well, it would be wonderful if a vaccine could do that. But thus far, all of the vaccines that are in development do not do that. That's too high a bar to expect. What they hopefully do, what they're being tested for, is that they get into your body, they infect you, but you don't get sick. That's what we're hoping for.
So you're getting a little bit of the COVID-19, being infected with it?
Yes. The way the early vaccines work is you are infected by COVID-19, but instead of getting terribly sick, hospitalized, even, you know, worst case, dying from it, the idea is you're infected, but you have no symptoms. You just don't get sick at all because you have the ability to fight it off in a different way.
Is that typically the way the influenza vaccine works as well, Dr. Mazes?
It is, actually. I think we have this idea that we're getting vaccinated and that our body won't ever get sick with the vaccine. And there are a couple of vaccines that work that way, but the vast majority, you actually do become infected with whatever it is, but you don't manifest the symptoms. And also, I know we have our hopes on vaccine. I do too. But it should be clear that for a vaccine to be considered successful, in the United States, the FDA, which is the federal drug group, you know, that advises the vaccine makers, the FDA basically said they have to protect 50% of people who receive the vaccine. So that means 50% or so may not get a benefit, just like we know sometimes you have the flu vaccine and you don't actually benefit from it. So these vaccines are absolutely a step forward, but they're not miracles. They're not going to erase all of the worry we have about COVID-19.
So when you take the vaccine, is this why we're hearing that there are some the people in the trials have been having a fever, maybe not, you know, a slight fever, and they're having some of the symptoms of COVID-19?
Well, I haven't seen the list of side effects from these vaccines publicized yet. I've seen things that say mild side effects, and people who are following this probably know that one of the vaccines, the one that was developed by AstraZeneca, was actually, the trial was halted because one participant had a very terrible side effect, possibly, or he just had this, a condition called transverse myelitis, which is a neurological problem that is inflammation in the spinal cord. And depending on where it is, it could cause paralysis. Now, do we know the vaccine caused that? No, we don't. But because he had this side effect during the trial when he received the active vaccine as opposed to the placebo vaccine, there is a concern. The reviewers stopped the trial, and it actually has been restarted. So this is the reality of doing vaccine trials or any drug trial, actually, that you may have certain adverse outcomes that you then have to pause the trial and sort, was that due to the vaccine or not, and how risky is it to proceed?
Then you have the whole hesitancy of the people who don't like any kind of vaccines. There are people in this country, half of them don't even take a flu shot, Dr. Mazes.
Well, that is true. In the United States, we know that there are people who are hesitant about any vaccine. This vaccine, unfortunately, or I should say these vaccines, have been politicized. And there are people who are worried that the vaccine development is moving too quickly to assure safety. So when you think about vaccine trials, they go through multiple stages. The first is what we call preclinical, and there we test it in a lab on cells, or we may give it to animals like mice or monkeys to see, does it create an immune response? We then move from that preclinical into safety trials. Then we just give it to a very small number of people to see, is it safe and what's the right dose? And we want to confirm that it does affect the immune system in humans as opposed to the mice or monkeys. We then go into expanded trials. Those are of hundreds of people. And then we try to look not just at young, healthy people, for example, but also at children and the elderly and see if the vaccine is different in them. So, for example, if you're over 65, you get a stronger flu vaccine. It's called quadrivalent. Everyone else gets a trivalent. So four times instead of three times the strength. And that's because as we age, our immune system actually doesn't work as well, and we need a stronger nudge from the vaccine to make sure that it is working. And then where we're at now with some of the vaccine trials is phase three. Phase three is thousands of people. And then you have to wait and see how many people who got the vaccine get infected compared to how many people who got the placebo get infected. And so we're now in phase three trials. Now, there are a few countries, China and Russia, who have moved forward without phase three trials. And so there are some vaccines being used in China and Russia, and then also in countries that have purchased those vaccines from them, like the United Arab Emirates, as an example.
Have we heard anything from those countries that are now in the vaccine actual distribution stage, how it's going?
Well, the answer is that there's a trust issue.
Yes.
And so the experts, you know, the people who are the scientists who developed vaccines are really unhappy that the phase three is being skipped, and they believe that's not safe, and that you're doing an unfair experiment. So let's differentiate a vaccine from treating someone. If you have someone with COVID-19 in the hospital who is seriously ill, maybe in the ICU, at risk of dying, the risk of giving them an unproven therapy is much lower. I mean, this is someone who's at risk of dying of an infection, and it can be understood why you might try unproven medicines. You're just in such a dangerous situation with that person that they might consent to try something even though it's not proven. On the other hand, a vaccine is being given to a healthy person, a person who may never have gotten infected with COVID-19, and we have a much higher burden of proof that it's safe before we put it out to the population at large.
All right, Dr. Mazes, stick around. I've got much more for you in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our live line courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. That's Mona's Danish Bakery. They're open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30 in the morning. Boy, they serve a beautiful breakfast. We were up there on Sunday out on the patio, had some beautiful some eggs, some hash browns, and of course, some of the Mona's, their wonderful fresh breads toasted up. What a lovely breakfast they present at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. I always think of kind of the holiday seasons with the Kringles, but of course, they're a year-round delight, a beautiful pastry. But the holidays are coming, and Mona's is your holiday headquarters for all those luscious pastries. Mona's open Monday to Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 5 in the afternoon. Sunday, 7 to 2. See you at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on our live line courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're doing our monthly conversation with our contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she's the executive director and also endowed chair in integrative medicine. Let's switch gears from COVID-19, Dr. Mazes, to talk about a very interesting study out of Sweden about something using a weighted blanket for men and women with depression or other mental ills. This might turn out to help people with insomnia as well.
Yes. So I actually think it's still related to COVID-19 because I think a lot of people aren't sleeping as well.
I agree. You know, very good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a time of heightened anxiety for a lot of people, and that often shows up by making it harder to sleep. And so in this study, which was just published in the Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine, they used a weighted blanket, and they used a heavy one, 18 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, so you're not talking about, like, I don't know, I just had to get out my down blanket because it's been so cold at night the last few days.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a down blanket. We're talking about something really heavy. And they actually had a controlled study. So one group got the 18-pound blanket, and it was weighted with metal chains, and another got an identical-looking blanket, but it had plastic chains. It only weighed 3 pounds. And then they looked at how their sleep quality was and how they did with insomnia and waking up at night and their daytime activity. And the folks who slept with that 18-pound blanket actually did so well that 42% of them were completely over their sleep troubles compared to about 4% of the controls.
Well, of course, this begs the question, what in the world is going on? And I like to sleep with a regular blanket, even in the summer, with a sheet, and then I like a little a blanket over my feet. I mean, it just kind of gives you, I don't know, maybe a cozier, more secure feeling. I kind of wonder what is going on.
Well, I don't think we know for sure, but I'll tell you there are two theories. One theory is called the holding environment theory, and the idea there is that as human beings, touch is a basic need. And when we're touched, and in this case, it's the blanket that is giving us that sensation of being touched or held, it's calming and comforting. So that is one possible explanation. And the other is similar but a little different, and that's this idea of grounding, that things that ground our bodies have a calming effect. And these weighted blankets ground our bodies by pushing it downward and stimulates deep pressure touch. And that can reduce chronic stress and anxiety.
The 3-pounder, I believe you mentioned, the 3-pound plastic chain blanket, that might be more of a, if someone was thinking about this, more of an entry level rather than going full bore in for the 18. And I suppose these things are sold.
They sure are.
They're available.
They are. So weighted blankets are considered anything from 4 to 20 pounds. So there is a big range, and I'm not going to disagree with you. 18 pounds is a lot. Yeah. I will tell you that in the study, only one person declined, you know, because it made them anxious by having the blanket on them, which I could understand because that's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
You could feel maybe like you were getting smothered. But like I said, in the study of 121 people, presumably 60 people got the weighted blanket. Only one out of 60 quit the study because they just didn't like that 18-pound blanket. Everybody else tolerated it. And they had the option after the initial 4-week study of continuing to use a blanket of their choosing. They had 4 different weights between 6 kilograms and 8 kilograms. They had different ones they could choose. And the people who continued to use them, 92% at a year out responded with better sleep, and 78% were in remission. So that's a pretty significant good response.
Are there some other strategies beside blankets? And I know there are. We've talked about it, especially in these times of high anxiety with COVID. One I've talked about here on the radio is try not to look at the news right before bed.
Great strategy. That's really stimulating and, you know, could produce anxiety. Often we look at news these days on a screen, and the screen's light, that blue light that comes off of your phone or your computer or your iPad, is stimulating. It's the opposite to what we want, which is that we dim the lights at night and have less light exposure the way we would have in nature. If it was getting dark out, we would have less light stimulation to the eye. Our bodies would produce melatonin, and we would get ready and then go to sleep. But I'd like to throw out 2 other ideas. One is something called the Insight Timer, which is a free app. If you have a smartphone, you can download it for free, and it has all kinds of guided imagery, chimes, talks, music. There's, you know, this quieting music you can listen to that can help people sleep better. So that's a mind-body tool that for anyone who has access to a smartphone is free for them to use. But the other is sort of also curious, the way the weighted blanket is curious, and that is that men and women sleep better at different temperatures, different ambient temperatures in the room. So men self-report sleeping better at 63 degrees Fahrenheit, which is easy to achieve right now.
Yes. Yeah.
And women prefer 73 degrees. So that could explain some disagreements at bedtime, which also isn't good for sleep. But it is good to know that sleeping in a cool room is helpful in terms of getting a good night's sleep.
And then there are some people that just have to have it really, really dark. And then there are some, myself included, that like a little bit of light, like from a nightlight, perhaps behind a dresser, some kind of light. It's different. People fall into different camps on this particular subject, Dr. Mazes.
Yes, but the science is with the dark room.
Okay.
So having said that, if you're at risk of falling, having a little bit of light can be helpful. And then we recommend a red light like you'd get for, you know, Christmas tree lighting, because blue light is stimulating and white light is stimulating. So you want something that if you do have to wake up to use the bathroom, isn't going to wake up your whole nervous system, but rather is going to be something that's minimally disturbing to your sleep, but lets you find the bathroom or something else that you need without any risk of falling.
And you said that would be a red light?
Yes, a red light would be best.
And what was the app you mentioned again, please, on the sleep?
Insight Timer. It actually is not just for sleep. It's for anxiety, it's for well-being, but it's also for sleep. There's a large amount, thousands of different talks, meditations, guided imagery, music that can be used. And once you find one you like, I would say keep using it, because then you get used to that sound or that music being the thing you listen to that helps you fall asleep, almost like a lullaby can help a child fall asleep. They're used to hearing that. It's the signal to the nervous system, oh, now is my time to fall asleep. So find one you like and then stick to it and see if it helps.
There's also a lot of good information at the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine, your website, correct?
Absolutely. So our website is a rich source of information, including things that you can do to reduce your risk of becoming infected with COVID-19. Our website is azcim.org. So that stands for the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, azcim.org.
All righty. Dr. Mays, is always good checking in with you. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk again. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Victoria Mays is the executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, also an endowed chair in integrative medicine, and also our contributor on health. We're always delighted to have her on the program, usually every month here on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Guests appear on our live line, like Dr. Mays's, courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio since 1970. That means this is the 50th year of Green Things still growing. The place to go for all your gardening needs. So many people now saying, oh my goodness, it's finally cooler. This is the time now to put some color into the garden. Some plants that are going to do well in the cooler weather, maybe even, you know, maybe down to around 30. They're not going to die if it hits that occasional freeze. And we had that early freeze, that record freeze this week, breaking or tying a record from 1899. Who would have thought? I guess everybody should have thought. It's 2020. Anything can happen. Anyway, Zocalo Village and Green Things on the web. It's greenthingsaz.com, zocalovillage.com. A lovely 13-acre site for all your gardening needs. Let's go now on the live line, which is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, to Pima County Recorder F. Ann Rodriguez, who is retiring. This is her last election, and wow, what an election to go out. This looks like record turnout as far as early voting is concerned. FN, how are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, Bill. I'm traveling around the Pima County to all of our early voting sites. I do in two shifts to make sure that my staff is doing a commendable job, that they have all the tools and the resources they need, and they have lots of voters either voting or using the curbside drop-off of my early ballot. So we want to really push people that if you still have an early ballot, to vote that ballot. We want you to be part of the solution, not part of the problem, so that we can begin to check your signature, make sure everything's good, and we can get it tabulated. Because if they decide to change their mind and go to their polling location on election day, they're going to be part of the problem and the slowness of the tabulation process. Because they have to go stand in line, fill out a bunch of paperwork, because the poll workers are going to say, hey, you were issued a ballot. And then it's put in a special envelope. And then they bring those the day after election to us. And we don't even begin processing them or even looking at them until Friday. So if you got an early ballot, vote it. Do not mail it now. Take it to one of the drive-up curbside voting locations. They're all on my website. Today is Thursday, so some of them were open until 7 o'clock tonight. The biggest question we get is who can take my ballot? Anybody in your household or a caretaker for somebody can take the ballot to one of those drop-off locations. Make sure you sign it. Make sure you give us a daytime phone number. The phone number doesn't get it entered into our database. It just gives us a contact if we need to call you if we have a problem or we're questioning your signature.
Give us some idea. I know in 2008 we had a record over 18,000 early ballots cast. Where are we right now?
We've already surpassed in 2018 in today, so we're pushing 19,000 and something. So we still, this is Thursday, we still have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, for your listening audience, we are open on Saturday. All of our locations will be open. It's called emergency voting. It really is the same thing as early voting. You just fill out a form and state that you're there, you understand it's emergency voting, you sign it, don't have to give us a reason, but it's a requirement of state law, and then we just allow you to vote right there if you so choose. But our curbsides will be open, too, on Saturdays for those people that work Monday through Friday. So we'll be opening between the hours of 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So people have a lot of opportunities to get that ballot in. And we're working two shifts at the three-quarters office. We start at 6:30 in the morning and we end at 8:30 in the evening. So that allow us on the weekend to get those ballots moving, processing, check the signatures, and get them ready for tabulation. So people, please, I mean, we are just asking, if you got an early ballot, vote it, drop it off at a curbside voting location. You got Friday, Saturday, and Monday to do that one. And so you can be part of the solution, not the slowness if you vote a provisional ballot.
What is your guess on the overall turnout? What do you think it will be?
Well, just because of the percentage it was, I was running the numbers late last night after I got my 8:30 report from my ballot processing center. We were at like 68-69% of the ballots that we mailed out were already back in.
Wow.
And had been totally processed, gone through the whole system. You know, Bill, I've been very fortunate, you know, when I reached out to the public that I, with my ballot patrol program, that, you know, we needed the public to step up to help us, you know, to conduct this election. Because of COVID, we lost a lot of people. You know, county staff helped me out. But a lot of the public, this is the first time they did it. We're very grateful. Even the Department of Elections had a lot of poll workers stand up. Poll workers are there for one day. Early voting people are there for multiple days. And it's a little bit more intriguing because you're into the database. You got to look up voters. And it's just a different method at the early voting sites. But I've been to all of them, and the public really appreciates the curbside. Just didn't even have to get out. Just put it in the ballot box, and I'm there they went. People are also using our ballot tracking status. You know, so we ask them, you know, be a little bit patient. We got to get it in there. And the first thing we'll do is we'll acknowledge that we receive it. And then the second message that it will say, it's been referred for verification. For some reason, that's been the same language, and people don't understand. That means it's just moving on to the next process to be signature checked. We referred it for verification, you know. That's verifying your signature to make sure who you are. The other thing is that if citizens get a call from my office regarding your signature, please respond to it, because that's a way we can make sure that your ballot keeps moving to be tabulated. You have to call, and we need to speak to you. And we only speak to the voter. It's not like mom or husband or wife. It's the voter.
All right, we're going to have to let you go here in a second or two, but do you recall what the record turnout is in Pima County?
Oh, I'd have to go back. Remember, Pima County has grown, so it's the percentage. I think we're going to supersede the percentage as I'm traveling around the county of the record turnout. I worked at Woods Library yesterday, and I heard several comments that this was my first election voting, and they were kind of like different age brackets. So that's what it's all about. It's about citizen participation for every election, no matter what it is, because somebody's going to get elected, even if it's a small jurisdiction or a school board. They're going to govern you and make decisions that are going to impact your everyday life, whether you like it or not. So you might as well have a say in who it is.
And, of course, again, your website for people who can find out about where to go for those early voting sites.
It's recorder.pima.gov. And on the main site, it'll say curbside voting location, early voting locations, and it'll say track your ballot status, you know, and things of that nature.
All right, FN Rodriguez, you will be missed, FN, after 28 years. What are you going to do? My goodness, going to take some time off?
Yes, take my time off. My husband's got a long list. But he's got a list, but I got a list, too.
Okay, FN, thank you very much. Thanks.
And thank you.
All right. FN Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder. 28 years she has been in office, and she is retiring. And what a way to go out. Looks like record turnout. My goodness. Already the amount of early ballots that have been returned are surpassing 2018. So, I mean, it's a big year. All right. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line, courtesy of Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Coming up next, how do we come together when this thing is finally over? And so many people are saying, I cannot wait for this election to be over. But, you know, there'll be a winner and there'll be a loser, presumably. Come next Wednesday, and there's going to be a lot of disappointed people. There'll be happy people, but how do we all come together? Father Robert, our faith and spirituality contributor, will have some thoughts on that as we continue on this Thursday. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They are going to be ready when you're ready to return to the land of enchantment. Right now, New Mexico is not open to out-of-state visitors. They will be soon. And it's only a three-hour drive over to a beautiful area of the southwestern United States for a quick way to start your planning, southwestnewmexico.org, listing many places to stay and all sorts of great opportunities to recreate, including world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. So many people are doing national parks and national monuments, traveling closer to home. Well, we've got a great area about 3 hours east of Tucson over in Silver City. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Father Robert Hendrickson. He is the rector of St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church here in Tucson. He is also one of 24 contributors to the Buckmaster Show. He is our faith and spirituality contributor. Father Robert, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. How are you?
Doing pretty well. I keep hearing people say, Father Robert, I just can't wait for all of the political ads to stop, they're burned out on all this election stuff. But I'll tell you, you're going to have a winner, you're going to have a loser, presumably on Wednesday, and a lot of people are going to be angry, and a lot of people are going to be happy. So the question for you, Father Robert, how in the world are we going to bring everybody at least moving back in the right direction to the center?
Yeah, it's challenging. And I was thinking back to the last election, and a moment that stood out to me is the morning after. As you said, there were some people who were happy and some who were disappointed. And usually in our chapel for morning prayer, during the week, we have, you know, two or three people who show up. And that morning we had about a dozen people. And what I was most aware of is the very first thing you say in the Episcopal service, morning prayer service, the very first thing you say is, Lord, open our lips. And I sort of feel like that's something that maybe we need to hold on to as we move into the days after the election is, what can we say that will be a blessing, even to people who we disagree with, and how do we hold up the humanity and the shared, the shared gifts we all bring to the table? Because if we keep moving, going ahead like we are, where things just get more and more divided and people get more and more angry, there's not going to be much left for us to be fighting over. I mean, we've got to figure out how to come back together as one country. And I think that's got to begin with appreciating the diversity of the country. And, you know, the verse in Scripture that pops to mind is you know, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. And we've got to remember that we need one another in this together. And whatever the outcome of the election is, there's going to be a next day and a next day and a next day and a next year and a next election. And as depressing as it is to think there are going to be more elections after this one, we're going to have to figure out how we do this together.
I know. I'll tell you how I'm going to start the day when I wake up Wednesday, Father Robert. I will start it the way I try to start every day and say, Lord, thank you very much for giving me another day of life and surviving the night, and be with me in all I say and do. That's what I'm going to do, Father Robert.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, the time I was thinking back to, and you know this, I lived in New York when 9/11 happened, and you know what I remember more than the sadness and the anger in the days after is that, you know, walking through New York at that time was unlike any other experience I've had, where everyone, things were quiet and people were kind and calm and loving toward one another in a way I had never seen there. And it was because we were going through this thing together. And I wish that somehow we could recover that sense that we're in this together. And you know, we're in the midst of this pandemic, we're in the midst of these economic challenges, we are in the midst of this kind of divided election. But we are all in this together, and I think if we can be praying for one another and being thankful that we do have the opportunity to live in a country where we can have these disagreements and do so in a way that can, in our best, when we're at our best, lift us all up. And so we can give thanks that we live in a country with that shared value where we can disagree and move forward. But as long as we're sort of, you know, pretending that people are other, you know, that they're something for, and that we don't understand or recognize or can never, can't bring ourselves to love, we're going to be in a difficult spot. But you know, we've made it through these things before, and I think I think there's a fundamental decency and generosity in the American spirit that is elastic, and that's going to snap back, I hope, and bring us and kind of pull us all back in toward, as you said, toward the center, toward, and back toward one another.
And be kind to one another. You know, a lot of us are carrying burdens, not just people we've lost, perhaps to COVID or have had a hard time with COVID, but there are other issues. People are dealing with cancer diagnosis. They're learning of a loved one who has passed away. And people have burdens right now, and it's not just about the election or COVID, Father Robert.
And no, absolutely. And I think that is one of the hardest things to remember, is that when we're engaging one another, we're engaging people. We're not engaging issues or projections or statistics. We're engaging people. And, you know, whenever I do marriage counseling, I always tell people that one of the choices you have is to be right or to be in relationship. You don't always get to choose both. And I think sometimes we've got to prioritize the relationships. And remember that, yeah, we like being right. We like, you know, winning arguments. But ultimately, what matters in our life is not going to be that we were right all the time, but that we went about our life in a way that was loving and kind, and in a way that showed that we respected the dignity of everyone who was around us. Because that's, you know, I always tell people, what do you want people to say at your funeral? What I think what most of us would like people to say is not that he won a bunch of arguments, but that I could always tell he loved me. You know what I mean?
And oh, yeah.
To me, we so easily forget all too often.
So how is it going at St. Philip's with the virtual services?
Oh, it's quite well. I mean, I think, you know, I was reflecting this week that this is one of those times where everyone is sort of learning again what it's like to be a newcomer to church, because – We are all learning how to be online and how to you know navigate all this online stuff. But my hope is that it's also reminding people of what's important to them. And you know, when you miss something, that's when that's when you come to realize how important it is to you. And so my hope is that when we are able to gather back together, that we'll do so with a sort of renewed sense of how important we are to one another and how important having that space to worship and pray together is.
Well, you're actually, with the virtual, I think you're going to be bringing in new people who are finding that they're learning about St. Philip's and other places that because they are online.
You know, we do. It's funny. I have been surprised. We've gotten, you know, new folks have joined the church and new folks are becoming part of it. And it, at first, I thought that was so strange. I thought, what an odd time for people to be, you know, looking for churches. But then it's the most natural time for people to be looking for churches, trying to find some way to ground themselves in the midst of all this craziness. It makes all the sense in the world.
All right, Father Robert, always a pleasure to speak with you. Father Robert Hendrickson, St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. We'll see what happens on Election Day. But again, as I say, we need to thank the Lord, we made it through another day. Thank you, Father Robert.
Absolutely. Prayers for you in the weeks ahead.
Thank you very much. Father Robert Hendrickson, our spiritual and faith contributor of the Buckmaster Show. His bio, along with all of our contributors, like Dr. Mays's, at buckmastershow.com. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. Our live line, again, courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, thanks to our friends over there, and of course Green Things and Zocalo Village for their sponsorship as well. Coming up next, Dave Ramsey. Always fun to listen to Dave. He really tells it like it is when people call in for money advice and how do I get through the, got a pile of bills here. And Dave, he does not mince words. He'll tell you like it is. All right. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. See you tomorrow with the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show.